Carrie Underwood's married to a hockey player. Another reason to like her, if you didn't have enough reasons. Here she's saying about leaving her drunk-ass dad, who I think beat her mom, drunk on the couch as they go into the basement to get out of the way of a tornado. Blown Away is the name of the song. Joining me is Alex Hollings. We were supposed to talk about crazy white people earlier in the week, but we did not get a chance to do that, and we got a little bit sidetracked. Alex, good morning. How was Firewatch last night?
It was good. It was good. Things have been quiet around here, and quiet is my favorite. So, no complaints.
No complaints. The first of all, Alex, former Marine non-commissioned officer, currently a contributing editor at SoftRep, which I think most people have heard of. It's it gets bigger. SoftRep Radio, SoftRep TV, SoftRep blowing it up. Enjoy having Alex on. Last week, you and I were talking just a couple minutes ago. It's like the weekend can't get here soon enough, so that shut the TV off and get away from it, because it's like the world gets crazier every day. The United States seems to get crazier every day. Between the fighting all comers, you know, line up Iran, Syria, Afghanistan, North Korea, China. I'm not sure if I'm leaving anybody out of that list. Throw Yemen in there and throw Somalia in there.
And throw a whole bunch of really smaller scale conflicts between terrorist organizations that we're supporting.
Right. So
things like the Philippines.
Right. The whole situation with North Korea and Guam. So you throw all of that, and then you throw the dropped on your head at birth crew that made a dramatic entrance onto the national scene in what was a very small protest by a group of, I call them the dropped on your head at birth crew, and blew up into something that has consumed the nation this entire week. So let me get your thoughts on that, Alex.
Well, I think that you make a great point about it consuming the thoughts of the nation, because the biggest problem that, in my opinion, I've seen surface from this violence in Charlottesville is that people on the left feel the need to defend, you know, kind of these Antifa types, these anarchist types that participated. I'm not saying that everyone in the counter-protest was Antifa. And people on the right feel the need to defend, you know, these white supremacist groups or Nazi groups, not because they share ideologies, but because, you know, the Antifa side claims that they present the left. And you know, these, like, you know, Warriors of the South groups claim that they represent people on the right. So we're just kind of grandfathered into having to defend a Nazi's freedom of speech or an anarchist's, you know, ideology being anti-fascism. You know, and the reality of the matter is, they're a bunch of idiots.
Both of them.
We shouldn't be... Yeah, absolutely. Well, I had an op-ed go live last night that I've gotten a ton of feedback from, some good, some bad, where I compared the Nazi movement in the United States, and you'll have to forgive the terms I use, but I compared it to having a wooden rod shoved so far up your ass that you have to go to an emergency room to have a doctor get it out. And the reason why I say that is because, as veterans especially, a lot of us have come out against this, like, this Nazi movement and the white supremacist movement, and immediately been accused then of supporting Antifa or being pro-communism, or at the very least trying to advance kind of some liberal agenda, as though saying I don't like Nazis somehow makes me a Hillary Clinton supporter, or worse. If I say worse, I understand some people one might like her. I don't. But the reality of the matter is, we on the right, who the Nazis and the white supremacists and stuff like that, you know, these guys are out there claiming that they're fighting on behalf of the white race at large. They're not trying to advance their organization. They're trying to advance their organization's cause. And, you know, and I'm a straight white veteran, you know. I am the guy that they want to recruit. I am a best-case scenario. I look cool in pictures. I got lots of neat tactical gear. You know what I mean? And that, and it's all about marketing, not just for them, but in all things. I'm the guy that they say that they're fighting for. And they're not. You know, they don't represent the ideology that the Marine Corps instilled in me. You know, I came from Vermont where, you know, there were, like, I think that there was one black guy in my town, and it was my buddy Tori's stepdad. You know, we used to joke that the Klan must be really bored in Vermont because they're just like, we should get Robert. He's the only guy around for us to hate. You know? So when I joined the Marine Corps, it was really my first experience in a multicultural environment.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my best friend in my first few years in the Marine Corps was from South Africa. You know, as a young NCO, it was a Nigerian guy who's now Staff Sergeant Victor Runsway. You know, now to this day, my best buddy in the world I met in the Marine Corps, you know, he was born in the Dominican Republic. The Marine Corps taught me that, like, we have use for all types of people who love this country. You know, so when I see guys, you know, wearing military clothes, you know, wearing U.S. Marine Corps, U.S. Army T-shirts, carrying a swastika flag, I get mad, you know. And so when I say, forget these guys, you know, I don't want anything to do with these guys, and we need to make sure we make it clear that they don't represent us, some of the more conservatively minded people tend to think that that means I must align myself with the other side. That's not true. This isn't a two-sided argument. This is, I mean, if you want to call it two-sided, it's reasonable people and idiots, you know, and I don't care if you're an idiot carrying a Nazi flag or if you're an idiot who believes anarchy is the opposite of fascism. You know, they think that, I'm reluctant to make generalizations about an entire group of people, whether you're a white supremacist or you're an anarchist. But for the most part, they see local law enforcement as just as much a part of the fascist regime that they're opposing as white supremacists. So I can't back them up, and I can't give them the hero worship that they're getting in the media.
You know what?
It's my responsibility.
Alex, I will tell you, I'm befuddled by that because, you know, to me, the core issue here is, as much as some people may hate it at times, we have a First Amendment in this country. And that First Amendment gives you the right to speak what's on your mind, to assemble peacefully and speak. Okay, if you do that in this country, you can say what you want to say, right? I got it. You can't shout fire in a crowded theater and all that. But so that's one side. I think that's underneath this. Then you have idiots who will abuse that and who will, you know, after you listen to it, you feel like you're violated. Now you have another group who believes that it's their mission to physically confront that group and keep them from speaking. That's as un-American as the first group's position. And so to me, they're both, in my opinion, disgusting. And people who won't say that, that bothers me. Because this is the same group of people that you see on TV in Berkeley that are throwing bike racks through store windows, and looting, burning, creating destruction so that somebody won't speak at the University of California, Berkeley, and they canceled those kind of events. And so to me,
you're right.
They're both terrible parts of our culture. And if I think of Martin Luther King, I think of now these, the dropped on your head at birth crew, going up and talking about their white supremacist stuff in front of a statue in a park, right? If that happens and you stand across the street silently with, you know, 15 times as many people, you've made the statement, right? And they're allowed. And then what happens? It's a non-event. Everybody goes home.
No, but I think that you brought up the most important point in this. But in my opinion, and this actually, I would argue, I know for a fact that you don't fall into the category I'm talking about here. But the First Amendment is often misunderstood by the American people. The First Amendment doesn't guarantee my right to say whatever I want to you, so much as it guarantees my right to not have the government infringe upon my ability to say whatever I want to you. You know, it doesn't free you from the possibility of my criticism.
Correct.
Now, you're right. When other groups, like, are pursuing a physical conflict, and I genuinely believe that they were, both groups showed up there looking to fight.
Well, let me
in both groups.
Let me just tell you.
But people were there looking for a fight.
Let me tell you what was interesting in watching the video. So they play this video where you see guys with helmets, baseball helmets, and they've made shields of some sort, and you see them, and you're like, okay, those must be the white supremacist dudes. And then you see them fighting another group of guys with shields and helmets on.
There were shields and helmets.
And in the video that I see, in the video I see, they're all white. It's like, well, who are those guys then? Oh, those are the other side.
Here's the problem.
They came. So what happened was, the event that was going to happen in Charlottesville was a fight between those two groups. And then you have the rest of the people that don't really know anything about that, aren't really plugged into that dialogue that goes on the internet. And they're coming down to just register their voice as concerned Americans that they're against this. And they get in, they surround this event, and it gets sideways. And then we have what we had in Charlottesville on Saturday. But the main event was two groups, both not afraid of violence, that wanted to get it on. That was the main event.
No, but this is where we run into trouble with our post-event rhetoric, right? Is that on the right-hand side of the media sphere, you've got a lot of people who are upset, and I would argue understandably so, that like the anarchist group, the Antifa groups, they're not getting the bad publicity that they deserve. They are responsible for a loss of life in some incidents. You know, I mean, you could tie them, the more loosely you decide to tie them together, because they are disparate groups, the more violence that you can associate with them. The same way the Nazi movement and the white supremacist movement is responsible for their own fair share of violence. If they were called something else, if they were the white bunny movement, we wouldn't immediately associate them with millions of deaths in World War II. The fact of the matter is, they picked the name. You know, they picked the flags to carry. So they invited that comparison for themselves. But what we end up doing is, you know, in the right-hand side of the media sphere, people are upset that Antifa is not getting enough bad press. And on the left-hand side of the media sphere, people are saying, all you guys want to talk about is Antifa, when people who claim to be a part of your group are marching down the street with Nazi flags. What the hell is your problem? And that's where I really tried to get to in my piece yesterday, is that it is our responsibility to police ourselves as a society. The First Amendment stops the government from telling Nazis or anarchists that they can't amass in a peaceful protest and express their feelings. The same way, it's not illegal to chew with your mouth open, but you were still taught by your mother through social engineering that you should chew with your mouth closed. And that's what we need to do with these groups who purport to represent us. What I would love to see is more people on the right speak out more animately against the Nazi movement and the white supremacist movement. I understand that people are mad that Antifa's not getting enough attention. The thing is that one more straight white male veteran yelling about Antifa just emboldens them further, because they're like, see, that guy's a racist. But now if you're willing, as a straight white male veteran, to come out and say, hey guys, I might not like Antifa, I might think they're a bunch of assholes, but these Nazis don't represent me, and I don't support what they're doing. We're not seeing enough of that, because we're all picking teams. And we're mad the other side's not getting enough bad press.
They're
not our team.
Yeah, well, to me, here's what I thought was interesting about the heads of the service heads all coming out and making statements. Wait a minute, you have to come out and make a statement? We, you know, for instance, when you join the military, you are going to have the exact opposite experience that these people are, these white supremacists are talking about. It's blended.
Absolutely.
It's gender blended. It's race blended. It's religiously blended. It is widgets, interchangeable widgets that are working. If you're looking for racism, the United States military is probably the exact wrong place to head to, because it's blended. And it's probably blended more blended than any other large organization in the nation. And it's simply not about that. Let me tell you, you're not going to find it, because it is a forced, as you said, you grew up in Vermont. Your friends are from, you said the guy you most respect is from Haiti or the Dominican Republic?
The Dominican Republic, yeah.
Yeah, and so it goes. So to me, I look at both these groups, and to me, I don't I don't have anything in common with either one of them because both of them are completely intolerant of different things. And so to me, I don't know if that perspective isn't getting played enough. Like, look, I reject, and that's why I was surprised. Now, the service chiefs felt that they had to come out and say, we're against this. Well, no shit, man. And so to me, was that a reaction to the media thing and all these different politicians coming out and saying, we stand against this? And then if you don't say that, is somehow the default position that if you don't come out and say, we're not for this, does that mean that somebody thinks I am for it? Come on.
Modern world, it does, though. Honestly.
I've lived my whole life against that kind of shit.
And I agree with you. For instance, as we've discussed before, I have Data Miner, which is this application that, just sifts through all of the bullshit on the internet and forwards me, tweets, Facebook posts, anything posted by people, relating to certain subjects. Like yesterday during the attack in Barcelona, I was getting emails all day with, people tweeting about it and so forth. And I was amazed how important so many people thought it was that J.K. Rowling came out and said that, she condemns this terrorist attack. It was important that Marco Rubio come out and say that he condemns this terrorist attack. Why is that important? Because we live in a media community now that demands this of us. And if you, in a vacuum, we'll fill it with whatever vitriol we can come up with. So until the U.S. military, I agree that it's stupid that they need to do it, but we have to remember everything's a marketing game. Recruiting is a marketing game. Getting financial support for the war effort is a marketing game. The war is about branding domestically. And they need to make sure that they have a brand that allows for recruiting, that allows for the taxpayer to support politicians who support defense spending. They have to keep a friendly and positive relationship with the populace at large in order to exist. Like the flag raising on Iwo Jima, that flag meant the Marine Corps for the next 100 years. That mentality persists. If anything, it's grown. And it's grown out of necessity. Not because it should be that way, but because it is.
500 years, by the way.
500 years, thank you. But this is what it comes down to. This branding problem, though, extends to the individual at this point. And that's where we're going wrong. So to get back to my wooden rod metaphor, what this really came from is I was listening to some podcast where they were talking about how absolutely nuts it is that as doctors in the United States in emergency rooms all across the country, there is a huge number of people who seek treatment because they've got huge, ridiculous things stuck up their ass. Now, that's insane. Right from the get-go.
Okay.
But here's the thing. As you talk to these guys, there are entire web pages devoted to doctors sharing x-rays of people with light bulbs, giant marmalades, stuff like that, but stuck so far up inside them, they need to go have a doctor use forceps or surgery. And in my mind, and I have to extrapolate a bit here because I don't have experience sticking wooden stuff in my butt, but these guys probably started with something small, right? And they realized, hey, I'm kind of into that and nothing bad happened, so I'm going to go a little bit bigger. So they start with a finger and then they go to a wooden spoon and then they go to whatever comes next until before you know it, they find a wooden rod up there that's stuck so far up they need help from a doctor. The white supremacist movement, the Nazi movement in America, is similar to that, in that a group of Nazi guys got together, and they had a demonstration, and it felt good. And nothing bad happened. So they went home, and they thought about it, and they were like, man, that was so good. I want to try something bigger. So then they had a bigger rally, and they went and they did it, and it felt good to be around like-minded people and not have to hide their feelings, and to get to express themselves freely. It felt good to find other people like them, and nothing bad happened. So they went home, and they were like, man, you know what we ought to do? Something bigger. And so the same way you eventually come to the point where somebody's reaching for bigger and bigger kitchen utensils to stick up their own ass, these Nazis are looking for bigger and bigger platforms to share their message, because it feels good and nothing bad has happened. Now, the bad thing should not be violence. It should not be people with shields and bats in the streets, going to war like this is Braveheart. But that wooden rod should be the veteran community saying, you claim that you represent us, and we will not tolerate it. And if we we need to get away from this idea that the other side's bad behavior justifies our own. And we look at the left and how they hero worship groups like Antifa, and we go, well, look at these crazy guys. Obviously, our rights are going to be trampled on as long as these guys do this. Instead of claiming responsibility for the people that purport to be in our group, we're so focused on those in the other one, and vice versa. You know, on the left, nobody wants to take responsibility for anarchist groups. They want to just call them heroes for fighting Nazis. You know, it's absolutely insane to me that you would post a meme online that compares some rich white kid with strong liberal political beliefs and a can of mace to the brave heroes that stormed the beaches in Normandy, but people do it because it's good marketing for their brand, you know? What we need to do is we need to have that tough conversation with ourselves where we go, all right, well, if these guys claim to be on my side, and everyone on my side makes it clear that they're not, and those guys claim to be on their side, and everyone on their side makes it clear that they're not, we can get past this idea of accusing each other of believing in these disgusting ideologies instead of actually addressing one another's real beliefs. You know, as long as we're having this debate over whether Antifa or Nazis are worse than the other one, we're not actually having a debate over anything that really matters. And that's what I'd like to get to. I'd like to get to the point where we as veterans serve as that wooden rod shoved so far up America's ass that you need to go to the doctor. You need that public shaming to get you to stop reaching for bigger and bigger things. Because the government has no right to tell Nazis not to peacefully get together and share their ideas. But we as Americans have every right to say we won't put up with it, we're not going to listen to you, and you don't represent us. If we can be that embarrassment, like that guy on Facebook who got outed and then immediately was like, oh, no, I'm not a white supremacist. I just, you know, got together with this group of guys and started yelling stuff. When we embarrass enough people like that, their hateful ideology falls to the background because they're not going to want to be outed on Facebook. And I know that it sucks that my focus then is on getting Nazis to lose their platform while groups like Antifa seem to get to grow theirs. But at the end of the day, my platform, the people who listen to me, I have more ability to hinder the Nazi movement based only on my own political views than I do to hinder Antifa. So if we could work together, Democrats and Republicans across the spectrum, we could get rid of both of these groups. But somebody's got to be willing to take that first step and say, I'm going to accept responsibility that people think these people represent me, and I'm going to make it clear that they don't. If everybody could do that, we would be in a much better place. Unfortunately, when I say that to people, the first thing they say is, yeah, but the left isn't gonna. And to that, all I can say is, all I can do is me. I do my best to right the wrongs within my power. And I have to hope that other groups will do the same.
Did I lose you?
No, I'm trying to think, like, so we have to stand up and say, I'm not a Nazi and I don't believe in what they say?
In all honesty, maybe not. Maybe you don't have to be that clear with it. But yeah, I do think to a certain extent.
I mean, Alex, when you look at them, they're idiots. They're absolute idiots.
Absolutely.
All you got to do is stick a microphone in one of their faces, and it's just, let me turn the channel, click. You know, but the media loves, you know, the big media, they love this shit, right? I mean, one of the things you learn about the whole Trump-Russia thing with that CNN reporter who got duped into taking a kid under his wing who was taping their conversations was he said, hey, man, it's not college journalism, he said, which is really quaint. This is business. Why Russia? Because it sells. It's good for business. It creates clicks. It creates viewers. That's what people want. That's what we give them. So, to me, it's like the media, right? They love this kind of shit. And let me tell you, you know, it's going to be standing room only at the next white supremacist event. Like, come on, boys.
I would bet there will be more journalists there to cover it. Then there will be white supremacists
look at,
or anarchists.
Look at the fight. Look at the fight. When you see the fight breaking out, darting in and out among the fighters are photographers who have their camera away from their body, and they're just like click, 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 click. And there's a whole bunch of them. It's like, wait a minute, man. I can't even fight anybody because photographers are getting in the way. So it's like, look, you have a small group of idiots. You have this small group of idiots who 99.9% of the country, 99.999% of the country reject, yet they dominate our news. And so to me, it's troublesome that you have to stand, somebody's got to go out there and deny that they're a white supremacist Nazi. I'm not that. Like, really? Like, who the hell is
I agree with you. I think here's where the gap between your appreciation of the subject and mine comes from, is that yours is born out of reason and reasonable discourse with other people, and mine is born out of the 14 hours a day I spend staring at Twitter. Right? Twitter's the worst of us.
Oh, my God.
You have conversations with real people, right, who are reasonable and have a conversation with you. When I put up an article, or a great example is I shared, one of those dumb memes that's like, you can't be a Nazi and a proud American. Those two things, in my opinion, run counter to one another.
Yeah, it is.
Right?
Right.
I was immediately inundated by messages accusing me of being a member of Antifa, of being a communist. I was told that I was a Russian operative not too long ago. This isn't unusual. Anytime that I post an article about something that's controversial, I'm accused of supporting some foreign group, or I'm accused of adhering to some political ideology, even though if you just Googled my name, you'd find out that I've probably written 10 articles about whatever ideology you think I support. Because people like a knee-jerk reaction, and passion feels better than reason.
Right.
So when President Trump goes up and gives a press conference, and in my opinion, genuinely tried to get across some fair points, he had some poor word choicing, and he kind of lost his temper a little bit there. And as a result, that entire press conference went off the rails in one of two directions based on your ideology. You are either the type of guy who supports Donald Trump and is like, yeah, it's about time. Somebody was like, no, these media questions you're asking me are unfair. No, you're asking me the same question over and over again. I'm getting frustrated with this. There were definitely two groups of people there with baseball bats. He was trying to get across a really reasonable point in some instances, but his delivery was off.
Right.
So if you like Trump, you were like, it's about time he took a hard line with these guys. And if you don't like Trump, you were like, look at him. He just outed himself as the Grand Wizard of the Ku Klux Klan. Why else would he get mad?
Right. Well, and,
the
but
reality
again,
of the matter is neither.
Right, and the reality is, and again, I'm not a defend Donald Trumper, but to me, if he didn't come out hard enough, in his first statements, and I saw a report that said that they researched going back 30 years that no president, sitting president, ever made a statement the day of an event like this. Not one. Over the course of 30 years going back to Reagan. And that was like three different search engines, looking for a president who had commented. He then follows up the following day with a statement, and then on Monday he goes out and he before he takes on the reporters, and his points do have merit, but the delivery creates an elevated, what would you call this last week? I mean, it's mind blowing in terms of the hysterical pitch of the discourse. You live in Georgia, right? There ought to be a discourse around the nation about how do we treat this period of American history. 12 of the first 18 presidents we had were slave owners. Okay? George Washington, right?
this is something that I have some strong feelings on.
Right. How do we treat this? But to me, there's people that, some people want to bleach our history, right? Expunge it from this. Other people say, let's build it out. Let's make it a more complete. If you want to remove a statue from public grounds, that might be appropriate because it is an active public, facility. But don't hide our history. Take it and put it someplace where people can see it and say, in the post-Civil War era, when the nation sought to bind its wounds, right, local people commissioned this and erected it. This is how many people in our county were enslaved from between, 17 blah, 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 and whatever, 1865 when the Civil War ended. This is how many deaths are attributed to it. And paint a more complete picture, but don't hide your history. But if you ask politicians to have that conversation, it is only the rarest of politicians that will. The majority of them will be moved by popular pressure to say, no, we're moving that. We're giving it back. And that's, I don't know that that's good for the nation either. But we can't even get to the conversation because of the hysterical pitch. Because we can't say, look, the white supremacists, they're wrong. Okay? They're wrong intellectually. But they do have the right to assemble. They do have the right, to say what they want. Right? Anybody who would impair that, whatever anarchist group that is, that would stomp on their right to the First Amendment, they're wrong as well. And to use violence to do it is specifically un-American. We don't do that. And where in all this is the spirit of Martin Luther King? Evidently, that's gone too. So can we have a grown-up discussion? And the answer is no. No, 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 no. You know, so...
And, that's directly related to the fact that the national attention is boiled down to meme form. It's got to be in 140 characters or less, or we don't care. So when Donald Trump gives an hour-long press conference, I would be willing to bet a lot of the people who were either super pleased with it or furious about it did not watch it in its entirety. They watched the three clips that were shared either on CNN or on Fox News, and those three clips, just like you said, CNN made sure that they produced material that would cater to their demographic, and Fox News did the same. The last couple of days, I've been posting pictures on various social media platforms of the same stories being presented differently on CNN and on Fox's homepage. Now, I know a lot of people get their news from other outlets, but CNN and Fox are pretty big outlets that I would argue make a pretty clear example of the difference between left-leaning media and right-leaning media. And when you look at it, like a perfect example is the day of that press conference, CNN had multiple headlines. The entire, like, as you went to their front page, everything that you could see before you scrolled down was devoted to this Trump press conference that I'm pretty sure they called, like, something for the ages. And if you go to Fox News, that same amount of material was devoted instead to a U.S. intelligence report about how North Korea is treating religious people. With a tiny little block on the bottom left-hand corner that said, literally, in quotations, 100% correct. And then underneath it, that's what the White House said about Trump's press conference. The problem that we have here is less about Trump's press conference and more about the way that we talk about it within our own little spheres. If you're the type of guy who only goes to Fox News to get your news, you see that. And then when you go to the store and they've got CNN running and you see these pundits talking about it, you're like, what the hell are they even talking about? You know, Donald Trump, the three things I saw him say all seemed reasonable, and I loved it. Like, these guys are obviously just playing into their own bias, and we don't recognize our own. Conversely, if you're the type of person that only watches CNN, as far as you're concerned, literally the only thing that happened today is that Donald Trump said some mean things to people. And we can't have that. So as you go to work the next day, you're standing around the water cooler, the only news that you know about is that Donald Trump had a press conference that was apparently ridiculous. And if you're more of a conservative-minded person, all you know about that is that it obviously wasn't a big deal. So right from the get-go, we're walking into the same conversation with a completely different perception of the facts, not based on how we interpret them, but based on how they're presented to us. And the racial issue is a very similar one, in my opinion. You know, I would argue that if you walked next door and knocked on your neighbor's door, introduced yourself to them, had a conversation, you'd find that Americans, for the most part, participate in some really positive and polite discourse with one another, regardless of race or religion or ideology, every day. You know, I know we all know that because we talk to people every day. But if you were to turn on the news, we've got this bad world bias. You know, it's bad world syndrome where, you know, three people got killed in Iran yesterday, four people got shot in California, Iran must be just like California, and vice versa, you know. There were 30 Ku Klux Klan members that got in a fight with some Antifa guys, so obviously the country's just inundated with racists. The reality of the matter is, if you go through all the news stories in the day, it probably talks about 200 people out of the 350 million in our nation.
Right, and this is in the country that elected a black man twice. as the president of the United States, right? So, you know, stick it up your ass with all, to me, it's not the world that I've lived in. I'm sorry. I mean, if people want to tell me that, yeah, are there idiots among us? No doubt. Okay. The world that I live in? No, not even close. Not even close. We have to take a break. I've got three emails for you. I'll tease the first one. Bottom line, boys, what's the problem here? So, Alex, when we come back, what's the problem here? More of All Marine Radio on a Friday. Alex Hollings from Soft Rep, our guest today. He's done Stand Up Fire Watch for the night. He's working right now. More of him next, right here. Don't touch that dial.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it. Are you looking for the perfect gift for somebody who's in the military, for a first responder, for a hunter, for an outdoorsman, or somebody that just likes cool military stuff? I've got the perfect gift for you. The Battle Mug. Starts at 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at BattleMug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out. BattleMug.com.
MilitaryByOwner.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner, proven and dependable.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do, and I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global South Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the South community should be aware of.
The Global South Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines. You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. 8:46 on the West Coast, 11:46 on the East Coast if you're waiting for lunch. It's almost here, all right? So if you're a fat man, ready to eat, 14 more minutes, all right, and you're in business. Alex Hollings from Software Up continues with us, former Marine non-commissioned officer, and we're talking about the crazy shit that's been shoved down everybody's throat by two extremely, extremely small groups in our country. Yet the nation is up in arms about what we saw, what happened. Email before the break said, what is the problem? So, Alex, to you, what is the problem? And then identify the main problem here.
I think the biggest problem in our country is rage culture. You know, we want to pick teams and we want to be angry. And it's easy to hate them, but it's very difficult to hate Frank or Steve or Sarah. When you get to know a person, an individual person, it's tough to hate them. You know, you need a reason to hate them. But when you look at a group of people who are all joined together by a belief that you don't like, or a religion that you don't like, or a political view that you don't like, it's easy to hate them, you know? And the same way that we want to get all pissed off because some lion we've never heard of before got shot by some dentist that we don't care about,
right?
We want to be angry because it feels good. And then on the internet, you can go on Twitter, you can go on Facebook and say, I hate these Nazi bastards. You know, I hate these anarchists. They're the worst thing in the world. And because, you know, you tend to interact with people who, confirmation bias. We interact with people who share our beliefs. You know, your opinion gets bolstered. And you get worked up into a bigger fervor. When in reality, if you were to engage with someone who had a very different, you know, ideology than you, even if you hated that ideology, even if you couldn't respect that ideology, engaging with them in a respectful way will do two things for you. You know, it'll help you understand where they're coming from. You know, as Barack Obama tweeted the other day, nobody's born a racist, right? It'll help you understand, why does this guy feel the way that he does? Conversely, it'll also help him to understand why you feel the way that you do.
Okay, hold on. So the number one problem is what?
Rage culture. It's our willingness to want to feel better about speaking out our hatred as opposed to wanting to do the hard work of really trying to make things better.
Okay. You know? I would, in my opinion, the number one problem is it's a First Amendment problem. I don't think that the people, and I will say especially young people in this country, because I don't think they've been through it. If you lived through some of the civil rights stuff and saw some of the, you know, and experienced some of it, either on TV, in our culture, and I was just a kid when most of that stuff was going on, you know, you had to kind of sort out complex issues. So to me, there's a First Amendment issue here that is significant to the nation. I think that people think because I want to stop you from speaking, I can go do that. To me, that should be met with just as much fury as the idiots among us and I don't mean social media, you know, because I don't know where the hell the police were. Charlottesville, you show up to an event like this with a baseball hat, a shield, and some kind of stick. To me, it's like, come here, bro. We want to talk to you. What do you mean? I'm just going over here to the protest. Yeah, I know. Come on over here. Get in line. Put your gear down there. We just want to interview you. Well, how long is this going to take? I don't know. Anywhere 2 to 3 hours. What? I'm going to miss a protest. Yeah, you know, that's unfortunate, but sit down here. You know, there's all kinds of ways to diffuse this kind of stuff. In my opinion, they were absent, but people have a right to peaceably assemble and say whatever stupid stuff they want to say in the United States. Because you don't like it does not give you the right to violently impose on them. And so, to me, we have to understand that. If they go and assemble and they say their stupid stuff, does anybody care? The answer is no. Nobody cares in this country. Nobody cares in this country. And it reminds me of CNN going to that restaurant after the election where some idiot stood up and made some speech, and he made something that they say looked like the Sieg Heil salute. Who is that guy, right? What
and who cares?
And who can? No, and the answer is nobody. But CNN makes a lot of money off it. And so to me, as a culture, we have a First Amendment problem right now in the country, in that I don't think a lot of young people get it. That just because you don't like what he says, and I don't care if it's in Berkeley, intervening violently to stop somebody speaking, that ain't the way we do it. And that's got to be reaffirmed. And then these people will out themselves for what they are. And then you can have Adam on social media, and you can vent and do the things that you want to do. And really all you're doing is allowing them to kind of puff up and be whatever they want to be on social media. The bottom line is they are an extreme fringe organization. They attract other people that are, in my opinion, they're on the fringe of our society, and they have mental health issues, and so it's a First Amendment issue, in my opinion. And we have to.
I think that your number one pick and my number one pick are inextricably woven together.
I agree with you. Absolutely.
You know, 'cause I think that when you see a group of Nazis protesting out in the street, that same mentality that led people to shrieking and sitting on the ground in college campuses when Donald Trump got elected, you know, that same mentality, to be honest with you, that led to people calling Barack Obama a Muslim for 8 years, that same kind of angry, you know, it feels good to be mad mentality has progressed itself all the way to the point now where instead of just being violent in our language, we're being violent in our actions against one another when we have different opinions. You know, if these were two rival biker gangs, it would have been on the way bottom of the page on CNN and Fox News alike, you know, when this all happened.
Right.
Because there were how many people, aside from the woman who lost her life tragically, how many people really got that badly hurt? How many people died? You know, one person dying, as tragic as that is, in today's world is not a headline story, you know? It became a headline story because it was marketable. Because on the right, you can market it as this, and on the left, you can market it as this, and it's going to drive a lot of traffic, it's going to drive up ratings, it's going to get you more advertisers for your 30-second commercial on Fox News or CNN. When the reality of the matter is, you're right, it's a First Amendment issue. But we, as a people, have let ourselves just slip so far down that slippery slope of, if you disagree with me, you're evil, you're wrong, and that's naturally just moved towards, so therefore you deserve to get hit in the face with a baseball bat.
Right.
I mean, obviously Right. You're wrong. We all agree. Look at all the likes I got on Facebook.
Right.
Well, I'm going to put on my Guy Fawkes mask, and I'm going to run out there and burn down a Starbucks because they represent,
right,
you know, fascist capitalism to me.
Right.
Or I'm going to go grab my swastika flag, and I'm going to march through the streets, and I'm going to call, you know, black people the N-bomb right to their face to make sure they know how I feel.
Right.
The fact of the matter is, yeah, you've got the right to do these things. You've got the right to say these things. And you have the right not to be hurt in exchange, you know, as a result. But at the end of the day, the problem is how we're treating each other, you know?
Well, and
I think that...
Overnight, hey, Alex, overnight, a statue of Abraham Lincoln was defaced. Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln. Okay, now...
You know why this drives me nuts?
Wait,
I was at
the
Georgia, not too...
The Vietnam Memorial in Washington, D.C. was defaced. It's like, wait a minute, like, what are we doing? Like, it's like,
you nailed it. We're talking about idiots.
I know. We're talking about idiots.
Know?
Hold on, I've got an email for you. I like Alex's point. I get Alex's point. This white, old, fat veteran resents the need to even have to reject the douchebag Nazis. Everyone's first sentence is, they are scumbags, crazy, etc. But it's not good enough. The left won't even allow us to say both sides are wrong. They won't allow the equivalency. The mantra is that it's okay to commit violence because they are so heinous. I will subscribe to Software Up this weekend due to Alex's appearances on your show. Boom!
Hey, that means a lot to me. Thank you, first of all. But I agree with you that the rhetoric right now won't let anyone kind of voice their opinion freely. You need to fit within those politically correct talking points just to dodge the fireball that is the political fallout of it, you know? But I also will say that these Nazi guys were pursuing that kind of bad press by choosing to use things like swastikas and
right,
stuff like that. Now, communism is responsible for millions of deaths.
Right.
Communism is responsible for horrible atrocities throughout our world's history. But the fact of the matter is, here in the United States, we have a visceral reaction to the swastika. It represents a man who tried to take over Europe. It represents the extermination of Jews and gays and anyone else that he thought he could unify his people behind accusing a group of being the enemy. They knew that when they picked it. That was a conscious decision. So while I agree that there's a really big problem with the fact that you can't say, listen, if two groups of guys show up with baseball bats to fight, you can't assume that one group was, they meant well. No, these two groups of guys showed up with baseball bats to fight. But one of the big reasons why we can't say that is because, you know, like these guys, the Knights of the South or whatever the hell they're called, that showed up with the shields with the white crosses and stuff.
Oh, my God.
They chose imagery on purpose to make sure we got as riled up as they could get us. You know? And unfortunately, the fallout from that is that if you're kind of a reasonable person who's like, no, this is, we're talking about 40 people split down an ideology who decided to get in a fist fight in the street. This doesn't represent our nation on the left or the right. You're not allowed to say that, but that's in part because of their own PR move. You know, if they had showed up, flying a flag of just about any other nation throughout history, things would probably be different right now. The fact that they chose the Nazi flag really, you know, painted them into a corner, showed us what they really are, showed us their true colors.
Right,
but
idiots.
It got things worked up. They're idiots. I don't know, though. They're idiots with some crafty marketing techniques.
Well, no. Hey, no doubt. And you can make a big dent from your computer in your mom's basement. You can do that now. And so it goes. Here's another email. Interesting discussion. I do find it offensive that I have to deny that I'm a supporter. I think that's crazy. This shit is crazy. But here's my question for you two. Where the fuck were the cops? Why was this allowed to even happen? This seems like the craziest shit in the world. The Nazis are going to show up. Guys show up with shields, baseball bats, wearing helmets. Why didn't the cops do what Max said, which is, yo, bro, come on over here. We need to talk. You're not going to that event dressed like that. And every other asshole who showed up like that. What the fuck?
Carrying a baseball bat wrapped in barbed wire.
Yeah, what?
Right, for your peaceful protest.
What the fuck were the cops doing there? You got to be shitting me. And, Mac, I will tell you,
go I'm going a bit off the reservation on this because I'm not as well informed. I do know that the police said that because a lot of people showed up for the protest heavily armed, they were concerned that if they intervened with too heavy a hand, there would have been a bloodbath. That, to me...
What?
It's such a bullshit response that I can't wrap my head around it. The truth of the matter is, in my opinion, the leadership and law enforcement there was so concerned about the PR fallout of them possibly infringing on some First Amendment rights because that if they started approaching people who showed up with baseball bats saying, hey, you're going to have to sit over here in this little detention area because we're not going to let you fight, they would immediately take to social media, they would get interviews on CNN, about how the police in that area were infringing upon their right to peaceful protest because they only brought this baseball bat for self-defense. You know, that's what the League of the South and all these other white supremacist websites are saying.
Of course they did.
They brought all these weapons because they knew they'd be attacked and they wanted to be able to protect themselves and the children that they chose to bring with them.
Of course.
If you show up to anything with a baseball bat and your kid, you're an idiot.
Exactly.
I don't care if you're on the left, you're on the right.
And so,
if you want to go get in a gang fight, leave your kids at home.
As a police force, we just want to protect you and your kid from yourself. We just want to talk to you here. So sit down.
Yeah.
We're talking to these 15 people in front of you. Just everybody sit here and be cool. We'll get to you. Okay.
If you want to
make statements afterwards that hey, it was unconstitutional, you go ahead. But we have an obligation with all this tension in the air to make sure it doesn't get sideways. And so anybody...
You're right, man. I pray that the next time one of these things goes on, there's a Captain McNamara or a Chief McNamara in that community.
Right. And then I go... I go on TV afterwards and say, you infringed on their First Amendment right. Like, no, you know, look, we know the potential for violence here. All we wanted to do was to talk to him. Yeah, but you detained him for 3 hours and they missed the rally. Yeah, that's unfortunate. You know, our interviews took
a lot of paperwork involved.
Yeah, a lot of paperwork. Yeah. Our interviews took a little bit longer than we thought they would. Next question. Yeah.
You know, I don't think that it's infringing on anyone's First Amendment right to say, hey, if you want to come protest or counter-protest, just don't come with any weapons.
Yep.
And then we won't give you any trouble.
Right.
You know?
I agree.
Now, I mean, obviously people will find, you know, weapons of opportunity anywhere if they're really looking for a fight. There's only so much we can do to stop assholes from being assholes. But at least do that.
That's,
you know, at least step in.
Is it me?
And say, there's no reason for you to be here like this.
Is it me, or is that the low-hanging fruit?
Well, this is all about low-hanging fruit. These arguments are only low-hanging fruit. You know, like, at the inauguration, there were riots in Washington, D.C., so the police swooped in and detained people.
Right.
And every once in a while, there would be some reporter for Vice News or yourmomsbasement.com that we've never heard of, but apparently is a journalistic website,
right,
who would immediately take to social media and say, the police detained me with these protesters, and all I was trying to do was cover the story, and so on and so forth. These, you know, it's over-policing. The story went away 2 days later because the police didn't charge most of them with anything and just let them go.
Right.
But we want to be mad. We want to accuse the police of over-policing. I'm not saying that there are no police officers out there, you know, that deserve a fair share of blame laid on them. You shoot a father in his car because he tells you he legally has a firearm. You're a bad cop, man. You know, you screwed up. Maybe you're a good guy who made a mistake, but you're a bad cop.
Right.
You know,
without any doubt. Without any doubt, either.
You know, but here in the U.S., what we really want, we want to boil things down to its lowest common denominator so that it's simple and easy to digest in 30-second bits. It's got to be a great news piece. It's got to be a great joke on Family Guy. It's got to be a funny tweet.
Yeah.
But it can't be complicated. There can't be shades of gray. We need black and white, and we need simple, and we want angry.
All right.
You know, and it's screwing us.
Measured intellectual discourse. Are you kidding me? In the United States, it's a joke. Email question. Mac, where do you and Alex stand on the renaming of Army bases that have been named in honor of Confederate generals? I say you changed them yesterday. And here's why. I'm not trying to whitewash history, but these are active. These aren't historical monuments, okay? These are United States Army bases. I get when ground was broken for Fort Bragg, named after Braxton Bragg, a Confederate general, that the state of Georgia wanted the naming rights, and in order to bind the Union, you still had men alive that fought in the Civil War. You had the sons of the men who fought in the Civil War were the majority of people in the state, men anyway, and so that was strong emotion in the state. Okay, so I get why it was done, but I would tell you this: that day has come and gone. They're active duty bases. They should not be named for Confederate generals. They should be renamed. That's my position. Alex, your thought?
I got to tell you the truth. I saw an article written by one of our staff writers named Travis, who's Travis Allen's a great writer. He also writes for the Duffel blog.
Okay.
But he's a great writer, and he wrote an article today that was like, why haven't we changed the names of these bases named after Confederate generals? And I opened up the tab and I haven't read it yet because, to be honest, I wasn't sure how I felt about this yet. Listening to you right now sold me. I'm on your side on this. I think you're 100% right. I understand now better, I think, than I did before, why we did this in the first place. But that makes perfect sense to me. You know, I understand that during the Reformation, we had a really big challenge ahead of us trying to get these two people who were fighting to the death to now cooperate, especially with rifles in their hands, you know,
just
30 years later.
It's the most costly war in terms of human life in the nation's history, okay? And the nation, the most costly, mind you, not in terms of 2017, but when the nation lived east of the Mississippi River, it's still the most costly. So it impacted every community, it impacted every county, every place was touched. Okay, and in order to bind the wounds of the Union, and Lincoln wanted the Confederacy treated, right? well.
And as soon as the war is over, you're Americans again. Right. That was his intent.
And then there was a big controversy after the war, whether on our battlefields, as monuments went up, whether the Confederate Army and their veterans would be allowed to memorialize what their sacrifice, in very human terms, on those battlefields. It was not a small controversy. But the decision...
Now, here's the problem I have about this whole monument controversy now, though, is that, you know, in Gainesville, Georgia, which is, about two towns over from here, there's this big, beautiful park that's got statues of... to be honest with you, I'm not sure if all U.S. presidents are represented there. I think it's a private function. When I was there, there was only 20 or so. I don't know if maybe some were away for cleaning or what have you. They weren't all Republicans or all Democrats or something like that. You know, they weren't even in order, for Christ's sake. You know, but, you know, they're well put together busts of American presidents just in this very pretty park. You know, and they're all, you know, life-size. So what did I do? I pulled over immediately and ran over and asked my wife to take a picture of me with the statue of Abraham Lincoln because he's my favorite president in history.
Right.
And you know, and then we walked around the park for a little bit. Gainesville's a bustling little community, you know? I mean, it's a city.
Right.
There was not a single other person in that park. I could see hundreds of people from it, you know, walking down the street, eating ice cream over at the, you know, the restaurant across the street and things like that. No one was in the park walking around these very well-done statues of American presidents throughout history because no one gives a shit, you know? So now you've got people Googling, hey, are there any statues in my town about the Confederacy? Because they don't know.
Right.
They weren't interested in history a week ago, you know, or maybe they were, but it didn't extend all the way to being angry at a statue.
Right.
So now they're Googling it and they find, oh, there are no Confederate statues, but there's an Abe Lincoln one. Well, what the hell? Let's go tear that one down.
That's all we got. Let's get after it. No, I agree. You see the stupidest stuff. But here's what I believe. I don't think that I don't think anything should be touched on our battlefields. To me, those are kind of sacred. To me, what needs to be thought about is this period in the post-Civil War of how the nation bound itself together. That's a piece of the story and why these things even exist. And then the other piece of it is tell the story about the number of people that were enslaved in this country, the number of people that died as slaves, and tell that piece of it too. So you have a chance to educate. If you want to bleach your history, I think that's a stupid, short-sighted move that will be done by politicians. If you have a serious, somber discussion with educators, with political people involved, with the community, you'll see you have an incredible opportunity to educate, you know, a nation that isn't very familiar with the issue. The only issue relative to slavery, to the Civil War, is slavery, right? And that was the primary issue. But how we got to be as a nation, right? People should understand that in the history of the nation post Civil War. You should understand that a little bit. And then other people that don't understand the true historical cost of slavery need to be retaught that or taught that for the first time. Because you don't get it. Because have you ever been to the Holocaust Museum?
Yes. Yeah.
Right? You get it, right? When you, nobody has to say a word. You walk in and you see the suitcases of glasses, you see the shoes and shit like that. You get it, right? You see the rail car, you see the places that are from Auschwitz where they slept in those barracks. Nobody has to say a word to you. You walk away from that and you're like, wow, 6 million people. We don't have enough. We don't have enough of that.
Your
experience.
Excellent point. I want to bolster your excellent point with one thing. Are a lot of American history kind of revisionists who would argue slavery wasn't the catalyzing factor in the Civil War?
Yeah, I know.
That's not true. You know, but to speak to that same point, the one type of monument that I would be fine with you making a really a sound argument, maybe at your town's committee. You know, or maybe a strongly worded letter to your mayor, or even a protest, would be some of these Civil War monuments that were erected as late as the 1950s and the 1960s. Because in my opinion, you know, if you put up a statue of Robert E. Lee in your town in 1958, that was more regarding your sentiment towards desegregation and the civil rights movement than it is you hearkening to your historical roots. Okay. You know,
here's my point is that this dialogue, right, is something that the nation needs to have. And I mean, this is in my opinion. This dialogue there's a lot to the issue of slavery, and so to me, every one of these monuments, where they exist, should have an accompanying monument that talks about the cost of slavery in the nation, and it ought to be an.
And that's a great idea, and that speaks to what we actually need, and that's to have conversations like that where people can present ideas instead of just knuckles.
Right.
You know?
And again, so it's really different. So if in that park in Charlottesville, there was an accompanying display that talked about slavery in that county, how many thousands of slaves lived in that county, how they lived, how many of them died, you know, in that county as slaves, between what years, and this is the conditions that they lived under.
And what you're really talking to is the reasoned idea that I don't have to agree with you to defend your right to have a belief or to feel a certain way or to even speak a certain way. You know, and that's a problem that I have is that especially we're talking about from that email, you know, you're not allowed to say there are two sides to this because you'll be accused of supporting one side or the other, you know, for instance. And what it really comes down to is, no, I don't have to agree with you at all. You know, if you sent me an email tomorrow and you're like, listen, man, I'm shutting down all Marine radio. I'm starting up all communist radio. You know, I've had a change of heart. You know, my entire ideology has changed just because I went to Costco and stuff was too expensive. You know, so everything's different now.
Right.
I'll be honest. You know, I would still probably come on your show just to argue, you know. But I would still treat you with the respect that I know you deserve as the individual that I know. Right. You know, I've gotten to know you fairly well. We've talked a bunch of times. I know you're a reasoning person. I know you're a person with a family that you care about. You know, so I might not agree if you want to change the name of your show to Why Soldiers Are Better. But I'm still going to respect the fact that you've got the right to do that. You know, I don't have to agree with you to defend your right to say dumb shit.
Well, and that's that's to me what it comes down to is that there's a deeper issue than the two sides here. There's a fundamental issue of free speech in this nation. It's a protected right in this nation. And that, you know, if two sides show up and one peacefully protests the other, the content of what the other side says, and then to me that's American. The violent.
But let there be no confusion. If I see you walking down the street carrying a swastika flag, I'm going to walk right up to you and tell you that you're a dumb, dumb piece of shit. You know, granted, that's not the best way to handle that situation. That's just how I'm going to do it.
Right.
You know, and I understand that that's going to raise tempers. That's my constitutionally protected right to tell you that I disagree with you. I'm not going to hit you. I'm not going to try to beat you up. But if you try to burn a flag, I'm going to take that flag from you. You know, if you want to march through my street with swastika signs up, well, I'm trying to, you know, especially if you're instigating a fight from either side, well, I'm just trying to go shopping with my wife, I'm going to have a real problem with that. What we need to be able to do is talk to each other and not just resort to violence. And we shouldn't hero worship anyone who encourages violence. And that's the biggest problem I have with this support for Antifa and movements like that. I might even agree with the concept that we should fight fascism. I just don't think that we're at a point in America where we need to fight it with bats. We need to fight it with discussion.
We're not.
You know, we need to talk to each other and find a common ground. Otherwise, we're letting these crazy Nazis who represent none of us and these crazy anarchists that represent none of us, we're letting them dictate the rhetoric we're having in this country. And that's just insane.
It is.
That's crazy.
You know what? It is insane. It's absolutely insane. It's absolutely insane. All right, I got to run. Alex, always a pleasure. Tell everybody where they find your work.
You can find me on softrep.com. If you want to find just my writing, you type that same thing in, /author/Alex Hullings. You can find me on Facebook at facebook.com/AlexHullingsWriter. And you can find me on Twitter at AlexHullings52.
There you have it. The one and only Alex Hullings. Hey, have a good weekend, bud.
Hey, you too, man. Thanks for having me on.
No, it's always a pleasure. Alex Hullings here on a Friday edition of All Marine Radio. We're going to take a quick break. Michael Musselman joins us next. more of All Marine Radio coming up.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nilsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nilsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Matt.
I appreciate that there, Nilsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs at allmarineradio.com. And I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nilsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.